Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
As many of us who belong to Jesus Christ know from personal experience, Satan, who is the enemy of our souls, never sleeps. He never ceases to find ways to attack us and to attack the true church with his lies. He never ceases to try to create confusion and division among us and in us in regard to the truth of the Bible, which is the Word of God. And one area in which he has been very effective over the years has been our lack of understanding concerning the account of creation that we find in the book of Genesis. So much so that many people who claim to follow Jesus Christ embrace the perspective of this world when it comes to this account of creation, rather than to embrace the simple truth of the scriptures. And this perspective of the world is dangerous, if not deadly. Because with this perspective, we invalidate the truth. We invalidate the truth of Genesis. Genesis is the anchor for the rest of the Bible. And the enemy knows that this is true. And he knows more than many of us know. He knows that if we question the truth of Genesis, then we open the door to question the truth of the rest of the Bible. And so we open the door to question the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, which will have eternal consequences for our soul. Which is why we are being so careful in our study of this book. And today, we have come to a change in focus, a change in the focus of this account of creation. From verse 1 in Genesis chapter 1 to verse 3 in chapter 2, we have been given some general information, a chronological account regarding the creation of the heavens and of the earth, which God created in 6 days, some 6,000 years ago. But now as we come to verse 4 of chapter 2, the Lord is about to give us some specific details concerning his creation. And those details revolve around mankind. They focus on us. This is our story. And so it says in verse 4, this is the account. Toledoth in Hebrew. This is the record of the birth of the heavens and of the earth, the beginning of all things, things above and things below, when they were created and brought forth in the day, it says in verse 4, Yom in Hebrew, in the time period when the Lord God, the creator of all things, made earth and heaven. Now, on the sixth day, We're told in verse 5, when God created man, there was no shrub of the field, no shrub yet in the earth. How can that be? It's the word siach in Hebrew. Means there were no weeds. A similar thought that is found in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 3, where it says there were no thorn bushes and thistles. They only grew up after Adam and Eve had sinned. But in the beginning, there were no weeds. There were no thorns. There were no thistles. There was nothing to get in the way and to choke out the great variety of plants and of trees that grew abundantly as a source of food. And in addition to that, it also says in verse 5 that no plants of the field had sprouted. Well, how could that be? It is the Hebrew word esev. And that is a word that means no crop. No crop had sprouted. No crop had been planted. Nothing was there that required man to till the soil and to cultivate the field. There was no farming yet. No grain like wheat or barley. No need to harvest it to make bread. It had not grown up yet. Nothing was needed to gather food. This was before sin entered into the world. There was no exhausting labor that was required of man in order to eat. It was a joy to work in their garden home. It was only after Adam and Eve were forced to leave that home in paradise because of their sin that man was forced to labor and to toil by the sweat of his face, it says in Genesis 3:19. Forced to labor that way in order to survive. Things have not changed, even to this day. We still live in a fallen world. And it would be about 1,000 years after Adam and Eve were in their garden home that a flood would take place. A flood, it says in verse 5, where the Lord God would send rain upon the earth. But in the beginning, there was no rain. Rain, which we know can be a blessing to water the ground. Rain, which God might not send at all, and which could result in a devastating drought. Rain, which might come as a flood of water and wipe out everything in its path. We know the effects of rain today, as we're told in Jeremiah chapter 5, where it says that it is the Lord who gives rain in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain. He is the one who keeps us in the appointed weeks of the harvest. But it further says, your iniquities have turned these blessings away from you, and your sins have withheld these good things from you. Life today is full of uncertainty because we live in a sinful world. But that was not the way that it was in the beginning. There were no winds to carry rain clouds across the face of the earth and to bring rain. We need to remind ourselves that rain was the result of the judgment of God upon sinful man. But in the beginning, the Lord points out in verse 5, there was no man who was required to cultivate and to remove those weeds from the ground because there was no rain. Instead, we are told in verse 6, a mist, ev in Hebrew, streams of water. It's a better way to think of it. These streams of water used to rise up from the earth and water and saturate the whole surface of the ground as God provided and he regulated what was necessary for the earth to receive just the right amount of water every day. It was like a divine sprinkler system. It was all in the hands of God. And in the same way, we are told, like clay in the hands of a potter, God formed man. Yasar in Hebrew. Like a sculptor, he fashioned him from the dust. Afar in Hebrew. From the dirt. From the minerals of the earth. From the basic chemical elements that are found in the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils breath. Neshama in Hebrew, the breath, the spirit of life. Life that can only be found in him, life that only he can give. And so, this masterpiece of clay was transformed into a living, breathing person, made in the image of God, with the capacity to think and to reason and to love and to live for God. Yet man was made from the dust of the earth, a creation unlike any creation that God had created. We are unlike anything on this earth. And so man became a living being, it says, but the Lord didn't place the crown of his creation in a palace. Instead, the Lord planted a garden, again, in Hebrew. He constructed a protected place towards the east, in the area of Eden. Eden in Hebrew, a word which means a well-watered place, a paradise, a garden home. And there he placed the man, Sum, in Hebrew. He designated that place as a special place for him, the perfect setting for the one whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord caused to grow every tree that was pleasing to the sight and that was good for food. The best of the best was available to man. And to sustain the life of that man forever, we are told that God caused a tree to grow in the midst of the garden, the tree of eternal life. And he also caused another tree to grow there in the midst of the garden. We're told it was called the tree of knowledge. Da'at in Hebrew. Tree of wisdom. Tree of understanding. Understanding what? We are told understanding good. Tov. in Hebrew. Understanding what is beneficial. Understanding what protects life. And that same tree also could impart the knowledge of evil, we're told. Wrath in Hebrew. That which destroys life. That which brings misery and disaster. A tree from which man was not to eat. It was really a simple set of instructions, wasn't it? Not to eat of that tree was good. To eat of that tree was evil. It was a test, wasn't it? It was a test of obedience. Which direction would man take? Would man obey God and live in his garden home forever? Or would he ignore the word of God and experience the consequences of his disobedience? Would he overstep the bounds of what his Creator had commanded? Did not the Creator know what was best for his creation? A question that we might ask ourselves today. Does he not know what is best for us? So why do we ignore his commands? Why do we ignore his words? And this is a question that can only be answered in a relationship with Christ Jesus, our Lord.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.